I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back. I'm Carmack, and this is Combat Chronicles. Going to be talking exclusively today about the culmination of a great boxing trilogy. I'm sure you might be thinking, well, ONE Championship had a big event this weekend. We've had some really interesting fights on the UFC Fight Night card, and you haven't podcasted for a couple of weeks. So there was Bellator to talk about, more UFC to talk about. Nothing great in that regard, but why are you only talking about boxing? Well, at the end of the day, we had the third fight between two great fighters, a fight we've all wanted to see last night, and those fighters deserve their shine. So without further ado, I'm going to talk more about the Tyson Fury, Derek Chisora. No, of course I'm not. I don't give a fuck about that. I'm not even going to give Tyson Fury valuable seconds of this podcast. No more after this joke, anyway. Of course, I'm referring to the third fight between Juan Francisco Estrada and Roman Gonzalez. For those that are already aware of these fighters and have followed their careers, I'm sorry if I go over some stuff you already know, but I'm actually going to tell the story of both of these fighters' careers in order to tell the story of this trilogy and therefore tell the story of the fight that happened last night. I think it's rare that we get to see three bouts between two such fantastic operators. And these two have been perpetually ranked in the top 10 boxing pound for pound for about a decade now. And I think by telling the story of their other fights, you can really see why these guys are so well matched. And I don't think it's the end by any means. They both look fantastic in this fight for long stretches. I could see a fourth fight between them. I could see a fourth fight that won't sour the trilogy, much like the fourth fight between Israel Vasquez and Rafael Marquez did. I could see a fourth fight that could elevate it further, much like the fourth bout between Manny Pacquiao and Juan Manuel Marquez. This trilogy is fantastic. The skill set displayed by both fighters is just next level for different reasons, but I'm sure we'll explore that as I go through their careers and just going to go sort of off the dome and talk about what these fighters mean to me and what these fights mean to me. And I'm going to start with Roman Gonzalez because he was notable first. My story with Roman Gonzalez starts 14 years ago, and it's not like today where I can look down the everyone's rankings nice and easy online and sort of go, oh, that looks interesting, a fighter that's, you know, 15-0 with 12 knockouts or whatever, and go, I'll go on YouTube and have a look at him. It wasn't like that back then. We were still tape trading, DVDs online, that sort of stuff. And even though we were on the forums, even at that point, chatting about boxing, everyone sharing information, Gonzalez was not on my radar. And the guy he beat for the WBA minimum weight title, 105 pounds, Yutaka Nida, he was on my radar. I knew about him. He defended the title more than once. Don't think I'd seen him at that point. But I was flicking through Boxing News, which was a magazine that I read religiously from about, I don't know, 2007 to 2013. Because it was a great way to get boxing news, you know, literally what the title said. And then at the back, they just cover every event going. At that point, I had a lot of time on my hands. I was younger, smoked a lot of weed, and I just basically read every issue back to front more than once every week. And I'd get to the shop every Friday, you know, lunchtime, because it was released on Fridays, and genuinely be excited to get the boxing news. It would preview the big weekend's fights, tell you about what happened the week before. There was news, there was op-eds, and there was coverage for fights all around the world. And there was a very small, I'd love to find it because my recollections of it are probably different now, but it's a very small little piece saying that this undefeated Nicaraguan fighter, it was 21-0, 19 knockouts, whatever it was, and he was like a teenager, or really young, had beaten Nida for the title. And I thought, fucking hell, he sounds good. Looked online, DVD, traders, whatever, didn't see it. It's on YouTube, found it on YouTube probably maybe a couple of weeks after. Broken up into parts, even though it was only like a four-round destruction. And was just completely taken with how fantastic this guy looked. And completely willing to admit, at that point in my life, something like 21-0 and 19 knockouts really got me excited. And I thought, God, this guy's going to be an all-time great. Look at him, he's amazing. Probably the best strawweight since Ricardo Lopez. Easy to be sold when you see something like that, the record, the age, and then you see a performance like that. Because if you haven't seen that fight, you should check out Gonzalez versus Nida. There's plenty of recommendations coming from this podcast, trust me. But you watch that and you go, oh my God, this guy's going to be an all-time great. Most of the time, when you're young and you see fighters that have got glossy little records with loads of KOs, beating a veteran champion, you're wrong. You're sold on good matchmaking between fighters at different points in their careers. You know, I'm sure we all got, I didn't, I'm happy to say, but I'm sure a lot of us got embroiled in the Adrian Broner hype, for instance. A lot of knockouts, a lot of names we recognised, multiple weight class champion. All bollocks, all bluster, all hype, you know. He's a decent fighter, that's it. But Gonzalez, I felt something. Actually, in a broken clock is right twice a day kind of thing, at that age, because I wasn't, you know, as well-versed in boxing as I am now, in my opinion, you know. Certainly it's true that I'm not as well-versed in boxing as I am now, but whether I'm actually well-versed in boxing, that is a matter of subjectivity. I'm sure your tolerance will vary. But I was right, and Gonzalez went off, you know, strength to strength, essentially, and it's just gone on to mass a fucking unbelievable resume. You know, Chango Vargas, that's a great one if you haven't seen that. Gonzalez versus Chango Vargas, really close fight. Takayama, Francisco Rodriguez, Akira Yagashi, Brian Valoria, Edgar Sosa, been on a great run at the time. McWilliams Arroyo, he's world amateur champion, massive puncher. Carlos Quadras, Cal Yafai, Julio Cesar Martinez. You'll notice that I've skipped around in Gonzalez's career a little bit there because I'm going to go to more notable moments in a second. But, you know, Gonzalez, at his peak, prior to a fight I've skipped, was seen as probably the best pound-for-pound fighter in the world, and rightly so. Champion at 105, 108, 112 and 115. Unlike now, anyway, who's kind of skipped a division, maybe didn't really fight that great opposition, Gonzalez was fighting really good guys. Guys that had a lot of clout in sort of boxing forum circles, fighters that people rated, fighters that have proved themselves over a number of years. A versatile list of stylists as well, that's important. If you haven't seen Gonzalez before, what he essentially is this well-oiled machine of a pressure fighter who is more than likely, Manny Pacquiao's side maybe, the best combination puncher of his era. And one of the best combination punches I've ever seen. When he gets in the full flow, just absolutely fantastic. Doesn't really have the feet of a Pacquiao either to get in and out. You know, he has good feet, great feet, but he's not that elusive footwise work. He's very good at slipping upper body, pulling back left and right, and then walking you on the shots, and then continuing a salvo of punches that you just fought a second before he was not in position to get off. Just fantastic. A bigger puncher at the lower weights. He's still got clout at the higher weights, as anyone who saw him dismantle Cal Yafai at 115 will attest to. He's got veteran savvy, and he's had it since he was a kid, essentially. Just a fantastic, as I say, well-oiled machine of a pressure fighter. Now, one of his best wins was one of his best fights, and it was at 108 pounds when he beat Juan Francisco Estrada. Now, going into the first fight with Gonzalez, which is a modern classic in my opinion, Estrada, he only lost one fight to Juan Carlos Sanchez Jr. and he'd avenged that fight. And Sanchez Jr. actually went on to win a world title himself. So it wasn't like Estrada just lost to some journeyman, or, you know, it was a, this might surprise you, but the domestic Mexican scene at the lower weight classes is absolutely insanely competitive. So nothing wrong with that. But I, again, didn't know much about Estrada going into the first Gonzalez fight. And I was probably at my peak of boxing following at that point. What I was astounded by was how amazing that fight was. One of the best fights of the era and one of the greatest fights in the history of light flyweight. Now, you might be thinking, how many great fights are there at light flyweight? Well, you may be surprised. There are fucking loads. It's one of the most action-packed and talent-stacked divisions of boxing has ever had. Because flyweight is historically the best and most stacked division that boxing's ever had. So when they split the divisions in the sort of late 70s and into the 80s with the inclusion of strawweight, which I actually think is a pretty barren division, how many people around there are like 5 foot and 105 pounds or can make 105 pounds? Not that many, even in like smaller parts of the world. Now, how many of them are going to be world-class boxers as well? See what I mean? But yeah, you know, Estrada, he astounded me in that first fight with Gonzalez. And I thought, this guy is legit. If you watch that first fight, Estrada starts off strong. Lots of pivots, lots of movement. He's able to beat Gonzalez in the hand speed department. And therefore, he's able to beat him in the combination department. Gonzalez has to inch forward, get his timing down, work his right hand in. And build up. Until eventually, he's sort of battering Estrada with combinations. And actually, the other two fights mostly follow that pattern of Estrada starting off strong. Estrada does this thing where he either gets too confident as the fight's gone with Gonzalez and starts either crowding his own work or fighting him in close quarters, or slows down a little bit and is able to maintain the sort of fast and elusive style of the early bouts. But yeah, that fight's fantastic from end to end. I still think it might be their best fight. Not 100% sure. It might be. But then Estrada moved straight up and beat Brian Valoria for two flyweight titles. And just I knew straight away, yes, again, I was right about Estrada. It's not just Estrada competed with Gonzalez, so therefore he's always also world-class, because styles make fights. And I said earlier, Chango Vargas had a great fight with Gonzalez, and he was not elite. He was a really quality fighter in that around that time in lower weight classes. But, you know, he was not on Gonzalez's level, and he gave him a tough fight. But Estrada had something about him. Now, Brian Valoria, you might look at his record now, if you've never heard of him, and go, this guy wasn't that good, he lost all the time. Valoria was a real enigmatic fighter. Quality amateur, came into the pro ranks. He put forward these great runs and just capitulate terribly. And then put forward another great run and just fall apart terribly. And you go, this guy's completely unreliable. And then he put forward a run and you go, oh my God, this guy's one of the best fighters active in the sport. And he was on probably the best run of his career when Estrada beat him. Split decision, erroneous in my opinion. Clear Estrada win, always has been. And Estrada basically just from there on in cemented himself as one of the best pound for pound fighters in the sport. He beat an exhaustive list of fighters, including, I'm not going to go for all of them, but some of the ones I can think off the top of my head, Milan Melindo, Giovanni Seguro, who was also one of the best sort of pound for pound fighters at the time. Not when Estrada beat him, because he'd lost to Valoria, which made his run that great. But, you know, as I say, Valoria, Melindo, Segura, Tyson Marquez as well, really good fighter. And the pinnacle of his career, the things that make him, like Gonzalez, a modern great. Trisketsul Rungvisai and Ramon Gonzalez. And now I'm going to talk about the real meat of what makes these fighters great. And it's because of their fights with each other. Three fights between Gonzalez and Estrada, which obviously this episode is going to focus on, but also two fights between Gonzalez and Trisketsul Rungvisai, and two fights between Estrada and Sul Rungvisai. So I'm going to talk about these fights, then we'll have a little break, and then we're going to talk about the fight from last night. So Trisketsul Rungvisai, what's interesting is I actually picked him to beat Gonzalez the first time round. My Facebook doesn't exist anymore, but it was all over there, probably on boxing forums too. Got nice odds, 15-2, lots of my mates did. I said, look guys, this is a real tip. I thought Gonzalez looked not shot against Cuadras, but I've seen fighters look like that before. When they're able to go forward, but unable to get out of the way of punches like they used to. Trisketsul Rungvisai was bigger. He was dangerous. If you want a real easy analogue for one which people will you know, get their head around quite quickly, Sul Rungvisai is the Hearns to Chocolatito's Duran. And yet the first fight, I speak about, you know, best fights of the era, best fights of the last decade, etc. And I spoke about Estrada versus Gonzalez 1. Srisket Sorungsai versus Roman Gonzalez 1 might be the best fight of the 2010s. It's probably second, in my opinion, to Marquez and Pacquiao 4. Absolutely just brilliant from start to finish. The storylines that came out in that fight as you're watching this great pound-for-pound fighter taking on what appears to be his boogeyman. And the emergence of Srisket Sorungsai, who'd long been touted by a very small contingent of Western boxing fans as a top fighter himself in this grueling, violent, end-to-end fight. Just absolutely breathtaking stuff. I last did a list of the top 10 boxing matches of all time in 2013. If you subscribe to the Patreon or are at all interested in, I've already announced this month the top 10 boxing matches of all time is coming to the Patreon, and I think those two fights I mentioned, Srisket Sorungsai versus Roman Gonzalez 1 and Pacquiao Marquez 4, I think, you know, out of all the fights that have happened in the last decade, they'll be the ones that are pushing for a space on the top 10. That's how great they are. But after that, you know, that fight was tit for tat. A lot of people thought Gonzalez deserved to win. I was obviously very happy that Sorungsai got the decision. But it's also interesting to talk about when that fight happened. Gonzalez, the first fighter I can think of below, or at 115 pounds or below, since the 90s, really, that got major traction on HBO and therefore became somewhat of a crossover star. They were pairing him with Gennady Golovkin, who was also breaking out as a marquee attraction, as a great knockout puncher. And people really started to wake up to the fact that Gonzalez was one of the best pound-for-pound fighters in the world. And I saw a lot more people talking about him, whereas in the preceding sort of, you know, I don't know, whenever it was, 8 years or so, no one really seemed to care outside of boxing forum aficionados. No one cared about Estrada outside of boxing forum aficionados. I assume that in Mexico he has somewhat of a following, but he was never on a Barrera-Morales kind of level, or even Marquez. Wasn't fighting in one of those divisions that tends to get traction, you know, anywhere from sort of featherweight to welterweight, amongst the larger boxing contingent. Even with the advent of the internet the advent of the internet taking over sort of boxing correspondence and coverage and boxing matches just being so much easier to get hold of, Gonzalez and Estrada weren't household names. But Gonzalez started to become one around the time of the Sorungsai fight. So the rematch was big news. If I'm not mistaken, actually, it headlined on HBO. So the first one was the chief supporter Golovkin-Jacobs awful, tepid fight. And that's why everyone thought Gonzalez and Srisket Sorungsai was so great. The second one was headlining these HBO Superfly cards. We had Naoya Inoue and you had Estrada beat Carlos Quadras on the same card, setting up, you know, other fights. And Inoue obviously never got in the mix in the end at 115. He moved up the bantamweight. Massive shame, massive blight on his career, in my opinion. And one of the reasons I don't rate him amongst the top sort of three or four best pound-for-pound fighters in the world. I really don't. I think he's fantastic. Love him. Followed him since he was an amateur. But, you know, the fact of the matter is he missed out on the best contemporaries that he's ever shared a space with. And the second fight was headlining that card. I remember watching it live. I remember staying up watching it live and thinking, you know what? I thought Gonzalez was a bit past it against Carlos Quadras. As Herculean an effort he put forth in the first fight with Sorungsai, that's the kind of fight that is really the final nail in the coffin. And actually, if that was the final nail in the coffin, the rematch with Srisket Sorungsai, where Gonzalez got absolutely battered, pulverised, sparked out fully, knockout of the year style stuff, that was when he got buried 12 feet under. Alright? He's never come back from that. Which is why him coming back, winning a title at Superfly against Calyaf, Iowa, never rated, but still, I'm so impressed by that. Gonzalez was not brought in to win that fight, and he looked great against Yafai, and he's looked great in his fights with Estrada. I've seen fighters come and go. I'm, you know, pretty good at sort of judging a fighter's career, sort of path and whatnot. And I was certain he was done. He'd had a long career already, especially for a smaller guy. Fighters don't tend to go on that long at the smaller weight classes. And, you know, the fact of the matter is, I thought he was done. And he wasn't. And that's why this series with Estrada has been so great, because on the flip side, for me, Strisket Sorungvisai was top 3 pound for pound after he beat Gonzalez twice. First fight, people say it's a robbery. It's so close, it doesn't matter. It's not a robbery. It doesn't matter. Fight's great. Second fight means it doesn't matter anyway. He fucking annihilated him in a way that just unbelievable. We haven't seen a fighter pound for pound number one laid out like that since Pacquiao. And the fact of the matter is, Estrada then lost the first fight with Strisket Sorungvisai. Really close nip and tuck fight. And then won the rematch with Strisket Sorungvisai. Sorungvisai kind of fell off a little bit between. But I think these three fighters, I'm talking about Gonzalez and Estrada, but actually those three fighters are sort of inextricably linked. Because, you know, between them have had what? Seven fights. I can't count. I counted it in my head, but I still can't count. I can remember, you know, boxing matches from 100 years ago, but I can't count to seven. Quadras 2, he's fought Gonzalez, he's fought Sorungvisai, and he's fought Estrada twice. So if you put all those together, what you got? 11? 11 fights? Fucking hell. If Quadras was better, there would be the Four Kings of the modern era, but he's not, so they're not. But Estrada, with those two fights with Strisket Sorungvisai, then puts himself back on the sort of top 5 pound for pound list, in my opinion. I always ranked him above anyway. Unfortunately, some of these Twitter accounts have been canned now, banned. That can't prove it, but I did. I always had him above anyway. And do you know what? As of today, I think I still have. Because this sort of back and forth between these three guys, where they're sort of not trading pound for pound spots, but one keeps one up in the other, then the other one comes back, and then you've got the fights between Gonzalez and Estrada. They're just proving they're on this it's elite tier of level. Sorungvisai is now burnt out completely, fell apart, as I say, between the first and second Estrada fights. He started, I think he must have had problems making a weight. He had personal problems with spurned by a potential wife, I think, and she sort of fell on hard times, started getting knocked about a bit by lesser fighters, and in the Estrada rematch came out with one of the more bizarre game plans to start off in the opposite stance to he does usually, and didn't know what he was doing. Marvin Hagler, he was not. Tied back into the Four Kings. Estrada went on to win the title and proved himself a great super flyweight in his own right. I actually podcasted on Estrada's last fight earlier on in the year against Argy Cortez, which was a couple months back, September, something like that, August. In which I sort of said, is he past his best or is he fighting to the level of his opposition? Because, he's in his 30s. They don't go on forever, these little guys. He's, 32, and I think Gonzalez is 35 now. So, at the end of the day, I thought, starting to think that maybe after their second fight, and let's talk about their second fight first. Second fight was one of the best fights of last year. It was immense fun, really close, really debatable. I think a lot of people thought it was a robbery. I didn't think it was a robbery. Thought Gonzalez could have easily won it. Thought Estrada could have just nicked it. Probably just about favoured Gonzalez. I think when I scored it last, I had it to Estrada. I think when I scored it first, I had it to Estrada. And I think the second time I scored it to Gonzalez. And funny thing is, I'm going to go on heavy hands this week to talk about Gonzalez and Estrada. And Connor and I actually recorded a commentary episode for the second fight between Gonzalez and Estrada. And due to technical issues, it never came out. So, oh well. I guess we'll finally get to release our thoughts on the fighters to the general public somewhat soon. So there's that to look forward to. But I thought that fight was fantastic. I didn't think it was their equal, their first fight. I do think their first fight was maybe their best. But before we talk about the third fight, and these guys are so well matched, but before we talk about the third fight, I think it's interesting to sort of think about, as I say, Estrada seems to fight to the level of his opposition and then amps it up again, because after the Sorungvisai fight, actually, if you look at his sort of resume, apart from Gonzalez, hasn't really fought anyone good. That Beeman guy, awful, and, it's not fair to say awful, but he was not on Estrada's level in any way, shape or form. That was like a sort of keep busy fight. And he fought like the ghost of Carlos Quadras afterwards. And then obviously Gonzalez, he looked really good. And then against Argy Cortez again, he didn't look that great. And it's kind of starting to think, is Gonzalez past his best and making Quadras, making Estrada look better? Is Estrada past his best And or is he just fighting to level with his opposition? And actually, if you see what he does in the Ferg Gonzalez fight, it's pretty clear that against fighters he doesn't consider on his level, he just sort of tanks the fight and just does what he wants and tries to knock him out, really. I said that in the Cortez fight. You know, Cortez really coming forward and making a good fist of it. And Estrada's just sort of spamming the same techniques, hoping to get him out there relatively easily and having a harder fight because of that. So he's fighting to level with his opposition. But before we talk about the third fight, which was brilliant from last night, let's take a little break.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
After 12 rounds of action here in Glendale, Arizona, we go to the judges' scorecards. Chris Tejas, 114, a draw. Tim Cheatham, 116, 112. And Dennis O'Connell, 113. Both your winner by majority decision. And the WWC and the magazine Super Flyweight Champion of the World.
So Estrada gets the decision, majority decision, 114, 114, one card of 116, 112, which I don't agree with, and one of 115, 113, which is absolutely fine. I think people will feel are done by because Gonzalez had two really close fights with Estrada and not got anything out of either of them. But at the same time, if you watch their first fight back in the day, Estrada, some people felt he deserved to win that one. This fight, what's great about it is a little extra quirk. It follows much of the same pattern as their other fights. What you've got, what's great about it, and I haven't really spoke about Estrada as a stylist. I spoke about his great career and his great resume and all his great achievements and how brilliant he was and how renowned he was as a pound-for-pound operator. But what makes him such great fall from Gonzalez is that he's faster of hand and feet. And Gonzalez is so great at cutting the ring that they've got this kind of constant push and pull. And what Estrada's great at, and Gonzalez, as I say, he's just absolutely brilliant as a pressure fighter. Even as a boxer puncher type, really, at times. As a punch picker in that regard, going forward. But Estrada's just more versatile. He's a bit taller. He's a bit faster of hand. He's a bit faster of feet. He can counter. He can stick and move. He can fight in close when he needs to as well. And that just makes him a really interesting opponent. They can throw a variety of different looks at Gonzalez, and that's why they've had such great fights. Gonzalez is consistently brilliant at what he does, and Estrada can do a little bit of everything. So he's a jack-of-all-trades, master of none, really. And usually that would be a slight on a fighter, but I really do think he's a great all-rounder, Estrada. But what's great about this fight is, as I say, there's still these amazing exchanges and these moments where they're trying to get out of the way of each other and they can't, and the exchanges of both men is trying to walk each other on the shots, get out of the way, these collisions that are taking place, just absolutely breathtaking. But what's great about this one is in the second fight, and as I said, in the first fight happened as well, but in the second fight, Gonzalez really finished strong and put forth an amazing 12th round. And this one, he put forth some great punches, probably the hardest punches of the round to the head, with a couple of lovely sort of shovel hook, uppercut type things, left hand. But Estrada was able to match him for output in that round, push him back, land some nice body shots, and then get back on his bike, fire off a salvo of punches, able to have his own great 12th round. So even though I hope this isn't the end of the series, even if it is, what a way to end it with Estrada putting his own stamp on the last round for probably the first time in the series. I think actually the main point about this series, what I want to get across, I've spoken about both of their illustrious careers, all the great fights they've had, and obviously their between them, four battles with Srisket Sorungvisai, who's like the third. I'd put him third out of the three overall. Superfly, I'd probably put him second. I'd probably put Estrada number one out of the four. But, you know, you could easily make an argument for Srisket Sorungvisai to be, you know, one of the top ranked super flyweights of all time. Same with Algeo Estrada. And it, depending on how you see the decision in the first fight with Sorungvisai, or either these two fights at super flyweight with Estrada, you could easily rank Ramon Gonzalez as one of the great super flyweights of all time. You really can. And I'm someone who actually wrote a load of articles on the greatest super flyweights of all time for Boxing Monthly a few years back. So trust me, these guys are all right up there. All absolutely fantastic fighters. But what I'm trying to get across in this podcast in particular is that the scorecards really don't matter. And they really don't matter in the Gonzalez-Estrada trilogy, because they were so closely matched, nip and tuck, tit for tat, whatever you want to say. The phrase I always use is two-way technicals. Three of the best two-way technical bouts of all time, certainly of their era, but in my opinion of all time. And the fact they've continued to hold my attention over the last decade, because that was something, the first fight was 2012, is just testament to how fantastic they are. So what I'm saying is, to any Chocolatito fans out there that are disheartened that Gonzalez isn't the top of the world again today as the champion of the super flyweight division, take solace in the fact that scorecards don't really matter. I mean, anyone's really going to remember. Anyone who was there isn't going to remember or care about what the decision was. They're going to remember how great these fights were and how closely matched they were, to the extent that the scorecards don't really matter. You can't really differentiate between these two. Gonzalez got a win back in their sort of light flyweight primes. Estrada peaked a little bit later, and then he beat Gonzalez when he was probably a little bit past his best twice in two really close fights. And if they'd fought bang in the middle of both their primes at flyweight, we would have had a similarly close fight. Doesn't matter. These two are basically on the same level. Basically, you know, as great as each other. Gonzalez has got a bit more in terms of pound-for-pound achievements, a bit of a deeper resume. Estrada taking away the head-to-head in this one, so it doesn't really matter. He's got the better record against Srisket Sorungvisai at 1-1 and beat him for the titles. But then you could say that Gonzalez won their first fight, so it doesn't really matter, does it? You know, Gonzalez is the only one of the two that's ever been stopped. But then he's got that amazing Phoenix from the Ashes run where, as I say, he just completely exceeded my expectations and completely dumbfounded me in terms of the way I see career arcs play out. That's a massive thing. Estrada now has been champion, like Gonzalez, you know, for the best part of a decade. Gonzalez has been, you know, title rank for the best part of nearly 15 years, so 14 years. This is just an amazing run for both men at the lower weight classes. You really can't separate them in terms of class, in terms of skill, in terms of their matchups. So stop worrying about it. Just enjoy the fact that you got to see three great fights between two fantastic fighters. In terms of Nicaraguan fighters, Gonzalez is clearly the second greatest of all time, behind his mentor and idol Alexis Arguello, who's one of the top 35 greatest fighters of all time. Estrada, you could easily make a case as one of the 10 greatest Mexican fighters of all time. And I think I would. Is Estrada one of the top 100 fighters of all time? Pound for pound, you know? Yeah, I think he is. I think you could easily sneak him in the sort of 95 to 100 bracket, or 90 to 100 bracket. You might not have him in there. I could easily see him in there. If we're talking about one of the best super flyweights of all time, one of the greatest super flyweights of all time, then he's got to be, right? Even accounting for the fact that some divisions are stronger than others. So let's say, for example, and I'm going off on a tangent here, but it's what I like doing. The 10th greatest cruiserweight of all time is nowhere near as great as the 10th greatest super flyweight of all time. Super flyweight is just a deeper division, even though it hasn't been around that long historically. And Estrada, for me, is quite clearly a top 3 to 5 super flyweight of all time. And has a bit, you know, pound-for-pound credentials as well, because he was a quality flyweight who had some good wins there. That's important. And a guy who competed with one of the best light flyweights of all time as well, in Roman Gonzalez. Now, Gonzalez is, in my opinion, the second or third greatest combined 105 and 108 fighter of all time. What I do with that division, strawweight so weak, and anyone who was worth their salt at strawweight fought at 108. So I tend to combine those rankings. So I give you your achievements at both weight classes and amalgamate them into a into one sort of super division. I agree that no one else probably does it that way. It might not be popular. That's my way of doing it. And Gonzalez for me is either number 2 or number 3. I've got Junku Chang at number 1, and I've got Ricardo Lopez either number 2 or number 3. You could easily have Gonzalez above Lopez. You could easily have him below. But consider Gonzalez as I say, 105, 108, 112, and now this great run at 115, in which really he's had 4 losses there. And apart from one of them, you could say arguably 3 of them. And the one he had is absolutely no shame in it whatsoever. And actually the one he had, the knockout, the devastating knockout to Saul Rungvisai, only made his return to the top that much more impressive, that much more spectacular. Roman Gonzalez is an all-time great, in my opinion. He's in the top 100 of all time, without a shadow of a doubt. You could easily make a case from, you know, top 60 to 75. I've no doubt about whatsoever. Just a fantastic, fantastic fighter who's just, I'm sure, looking at this fight, he's got more in the tank. I'd love to see them fight again. Maybe they need to have a fight, you know, either way beforehand. What I'd really like to see is Gonzalez return to Japan and fight Ioka for the WBO, and then have Estrada fight the WBA regular champion Josh Franco, who's Bam Rodriguez's brother. Bam Rodriguez, I think, would be a great addition to this mix, but he's going back down the flyweight. I'd love to see that. Or have Gonzalez fight Franco and have Estrada unify against Ioka. I think that would be fantastic, because then they both have something to bring to the table for a fourth fight. You could just do a fourth fight, but if they lose, there's nowhere to go. You know, Gonzalez lost 3 in a row, regardless of what I said earlier. You know, on paper, it says he's lost 3 in a row. So I'd love for them to go and win another bout each, and then have another big fight, even bigger, unification fight, a super flyaway. It'd be absolutely incredible. Still got gas in the tank, these boys. Love to see them fight again. But as I say, for now, third fight, fantastic addition to what's been a fantastic trilogy. I'd like to see that. It seemed a bit more packed last night. It was a bit of a shame. When you rewatch the second fight, you see there's a lot of empty seats. Fucking Eddie Hearn. People seemed to turn out more for this one. But yeah, what a weird time it's been, you know. These guys become more prominent, getting on HBO, the Superfly weight, the Superfly series, all these things that suddenly thrust these sort of hipsters' favourites into the limelight. And so many more people now recognise Chocolatito, especially as a modern great, but hopefully now Estrada. What I really hope, and one thing I really want to stress, is that regardless of what you think of the decisions, please don't take out an Estrada. Consummate professional. These guys get on well. They're both gentlemen of the ring. And Estrada, whether you think he's got the benefit of the doubt too much in these two fights or not, is an absolute modern great. You know, I think these fights have become too much about Gonzalez, and he's just one half of an incredible rivalry between modern greats. And that's all I'm going to talk about in this episode. So if you have wondered where I've been the last couple of weeks, well, head on over to www.patreon.com/combatchronicles. Often plug in the gaps on there. There's more to talk about big fights in the next couple of weeks as well. So I'm sure this free podcast will be on this feed will be a bit more regular. And, you know, as we hurtle into December and near Christmas, we're coming towards the 2022 Combat Chronicles end of year awards. I think that's how we, if I remember correctly, pretty much how we kicked off the podcast at the beginning of the year with the end of year awards for last year. Just like last year, not going to rush into it. Going to wait for the end of year Japanese card first, because I think that's going to be quite important towards the end of the year rankings anyway. So the Rising V X Bellator card, which is going to be great. Really looking forward to that. Because of the sort of fallouts in the next UFC pay-per-view, it's probably the MMA I'm most looking forward to now. But yeah, going to be on Heavy Hands this week. And if you sign up to the Patreon, we've got a couple of things coming. Already announced over there. One of which is the aforementioned top 10 greatest boxing matches of all time. And Guide to Pride and Next Combat Chronicled are also longer documentary style episodes are still in production as well. But the top 10 boxing matches of all time, that's what's coming next. And yeah, head on over there if you want to see more stuff, and hit me up on Twitter at @combatcr if you like my stuff, or if you think it's shit and you want to call me a cunt, feel free to do that as well. Don't recommend it though. Hope you enjoyed this episode. Until next time, have a good one.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.